Zechariah chapter 1. I had somebody tell me, you need to quit preaching out of that Old Testament. Get into the Pauline epistles and church doctrine and everything. I know the difference between the Old Testament church and the New Testament one. Probably better than they do in that sense. But these things were written for our admonition, for our understanding. Amen? And by the way, how can you read prophecy and not take it to the New Testament anyway? This is both a practical, a devotional, and a prophetic application in the sense of understanding this verse in Zechariah 1:6. See, you don't have a problem seeing Christ in the Old Testament if you're looking for him. You don't have a problem finding him. Zechariah chapter 1, and by the way, it always takes you to the New Testament. It always does. Always. So Zechariah chapter 1, this sermon is part of the Servant's Heart series. Is this the third one? I think it is, isn't it? Yeah. Last week was the cross and the crown. Okay. This one's called War Wounds. It's called The Wounded Servant's Heart. And I want to talk to you about the servant's heart. I want to talk to you about the wounded servant's heart. And I want to give you examples from Scripture about that. And I want to show you how you can be helped, because we can be wounded. We can be wounded. And anyway, let's read this verse and then I'll pray. Zechariah 1:6. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Oh, did I give you the wrong verse? I did, didn't I? How did I do that? Well, it happens. Let me look that up real quick. I'm sorry. Paul's looking at his Bible like, that's not the right verse. He's getting ready to accuse me of using a different Bible. It's going to get ugly. All right. Zechariah 13:6. There we go. Forgot the 3 there. It must have got erased when I was pasting it over there. Sorry about that. Zechariah 13. Sometimes it all runs together. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you. We pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we know that we will be wounded as Christians sometimes. We will go through those things. Help us to handle it the right way, to be able to realize and acknowledge the things that we've been through and deal with them biblically. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think it's important that we understand that this is prophetic concerning Christ. And over the course of the last few weeks, we've talked about the servant's heart. We've talked about the offended servant's heart, the dangers of being an offended servant. Then we spoke of the dangers and temptations to put the crown before the cross, that you want to be exalted instead of decreased. Like John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease, which is the life of self-denial. It's a life of a cross. We carry the cross here that one day we'll wear the crown in heaven. But today we carry the cross. But now we come to the wounded servant. God's people can be wounded in the service of the King. You mark it down, it'll happen. You'll get wounded along the way. You will. War wounds will come to the soldier of the cross. You'll not escape this Christian life without some wounds. And those wounds will be deep. But they will happen. Some wounds will be deeper than others, and some will be as a result of our own sin and that of the sin of others. But it's important that we understand this. It's important that we look at this and figure out the best way to deal with it scripturally, because it does happen. It's going to happen. In marriage, it's going to happen. in as a child, your parents, they're going to wound you sometime. And I mean that spiritually, you know, or just maybe not fulfilling what they should, or maybe overlooking some things and not seeing some things, not doing some things that they should. Husbands and wives will do that. Pastors will do that. Church members will do that to their pastor. It'll happen. Right? It's going to happen. We know that's going to come. And then we'll talk about the means to which God uses to heal our wounds and how to keep serving God though we're wounded. Because you know what? You got to keep serving God though you get wounded. You got to keep going. You can't give up. You can't stop. You know, one thing God has revealed to me, and especially over the last 3 years through all the trials that I've been through and the things that God has brought us through, one thing that I realize is people's talk is cheap. A lot. I've heard people that feign a repentance. They talk a good talk. They walk a good walk for a while. But the proof is actually in their life. Consistency. Continuing on. You may tell me that you're called of God. And one old preacher, I think it was around the same time, wasn't it, that I was called? He said, we'll see. Yeah, said, we'll see. Now, looking back, I understand why he said that. We'll see. And that's what I would tell you, not to be put him down, but we'll see. I've seen a lot of flash in the pans come. I've seen a lot of men come, and I've seen a lot of men go. I've seen a lot of people start out strong with great fireworks. And then I've seen them fizzle out, walk away, give up. So what God has showed me in my life is, you know what, preacher, just watch and pray, because you just don't know. You're not going to know. God's going to show you. He'll reveal it in time. He uses time to reveal all things in that sense. And his spirit and his word. And they reveal to us what's real. It's just like when somebody makes a profession of faith, God will reveal that, whether that's real or whether that's not. You'll see the faithfulness, you'll see the devotion, you'll see the fruit, you'll see all those things. God will reveal those things. Amen. And he does. And that's because I'm telling you what, I've been fooled before. Woo! The result of the flash in the pan thing, I've seen it. Man, it looked good till tribulation came, right? By and by, they were offended by the word. So number one, let's look at this being wounded, though, because that's part of, you know, wounds lead to often to being offended. They really do. If you're not careful, they will. So number one, Christ was wounded. We start with Christ because he is the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He is the best to start with. If not for Christ, I would have no pattern to follow. But we must remember that Christ, he was wounded first. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Right? Christ was wounded for our transgressions, and we must never forget that. Christ is the first great cause of everything. Now, if you're here today and you've never turned to Christ to be saved by his grace, you must remember all your wounds do you no good. Because you may be here and been treated poorly in your life. The archers may have wounded you, and you may have been hit. Would to God you would be hit by God's arrows of conviction, though. Today and see that Christ was wounded for your transgressions. There are no sanctified sins, children. Let me remind you that Judas went to hell from a Baptist pew, had the best preacher ever you could ever have, had the best guidance you could ever have, Listen to me, mom and dad, listen to me well. You do all you can do, but you just remember, Judas had everything given to him that he possibly could have had given to him. A better teacher than you and I could ever be. And he chose that life. He chose it. Right? Could there have been a better preacher than Jesus Christ, the Word in the flesh? No. God hates the little child's sins that are in this room right now that they commit as much as he hates the worldly adult committing fornication. Your sins, child, wounded Christ. He hung naked on the cross for your sins. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. You are sheep that have went astray. You have sinned against a holy God. And marvel not that you deserve to die and go to a devil's hell. I had some man tell me one time, you shouldn't scare those kids. Man, would to God they'd get scared and stay scared their whole life. Man, get scared as a child, run to the cross, cling to Christ today, and never let go until you go home, brother. That's what I'll tell you. You tell me that's good, I'll tell you that's not good. I'll tell you that's healthy, brother. That's healthy. You cling to the cross with all you got and don't let go. Amen. Because Christ won't let you go. I promise you that. God's word promises you that. Let me tell you something. You are sheep that have went astray. You run to the cross. You run to Christ. You see him bleeding and dying for your wicked sins that you commit. You know those ones that you think your parents don't see and others don't see? Christ died for those sins. According to the scriptures, and he was buried and he rose again from the dead. And that's for your sins. And the day you realize that, that glory bell will ring in your heart. You'll turn to Christ Jesus, your Lord and Savior, and you'll be saved by the grace of God. And you'll follow him, Lord willing, for the rest of your life. And the sooner you get at it, the better you'll be. Amen. If you've never been saved, you better come to Christ for forgiveness. The only wounds that you need to be concerned with is his wounds. If you're lost. That Christ suffered on Calvary at Golgotha for your never-dying soul. His wounds are what saved me. I'm here to tell you that with his stripes, we are healed. His wounds, the wounds that Christ took that he did not deserve. I deserve every wound I get, and a lot worse than that. But Christ never deserved one of them. But he was forsaken, he was smitten, he was beaten. He hung naked on a cross for my sins and your sins, and yea, the sins of the whole world. Praise the Lamb of God who was wounded for my transgressions. The fallen nature of man is in us, and we would die and go to hell if not for the wounded and bleeding Savior's side. Marvel not, my friend. Run to the cross. Be gloriously saved and forgiven of your sins. Cleansed from your unrighteousness. Legally forgiven. Before the throne of God, because of the bleeding, dying, and risen Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. That's what Christ did. You know, the longer you're saved, my friend, the more you'll realize what Christ did for you. You know, when you first get saved, my wife and I were having this conversation yesterday, a little bit about an unrelated matter, something else, but we were talking about the fact of what we were saved from. And it's okay to delve into that a little bit, but don't stay on that too long. Just glory in Christ and keep moving. Don't think about that. But we have such a, would you agree with this the longer you've been saved, that when you first get saved, you have such a remedial, you have such a childlike understanding of the atonement and what Christ did for you. And then the longer you're saved, God adds to it and he shows you. I mean, intricately through the scriptures, through the sacrifices, through everything, he starts to show you what you were saved from more and more. Do you understand? Has anybody experienced that? Do you understand what I'm talking about when I say that? Don't marvel if God begins to show you more and you're like, I didn't really think about that when I got saved. I didn't really know that. Well, of course you didn't. You were a baby. What were you supposed to know? Supposed to know that you were lost, dead in sins, and Christ would save your soul. And you ran to the cross. Amen. There's a lot of preachers that don't like that. They're a little concerned if you preach on hell and things of that nature, and then somebody doesn't want to go to hell, and they say, well, that's why I got saved. I didn't want to go to hell. Well, that's a good reason to get saved, brother. I ain't got no problem with that at all. But guess what happens there? that grows. It grows the longer you're saved. It grows into, well, it's about me living a life for Christ, and he saved me to glorify his name, and he saved me so I would be more like his son. And I didn't understand all that the day I got saved. Well, guess what? You don't have to. You got to know you need Jesus. God'll fix your thinker for you as the years go by. He'll straighten you out. He'll teach you. He'll fill in all of it. That's the Holy Ghost's job. Amen. That's, understand that it's run to the cross. That's what you, that's what you and I did the day we got saved. We didn't know all the theological, I didn't know all the theological debates. I didn't even know anything about work salvation and all this other stuff that was out there. All I knew is, man, I'm going to hell. But it's grown much more from that. And I knew I was just a wicked sinner that couldn't stop sinning. I knew I had no power over any of it. Like, when I could do evil, I did evil. Now, I hate evil. I don't want to do evil. I'm not saying I never sin. What I'm saying is I don't want to. I don't want to live like that. I don't have to live like that. Amen? I don't have to. It's not I don't get to. When I was lost, it was I don't get to live like that. And the church was like a jailhouse. And God's standards was like were grievous to me. Right? But then I got saved and it's like, I don't have to live like that. Praise God, I don't have to live like that. I don't have to run around like a whoremonger. I don't have to do that. I don't have to give into my flesh and have no control over any of that. But the Spirit of God comes inside of you and you begin to be able to fight that. And God weeds that sin out the longer you're saved. Amen? That's simple. But it all starts with running to the wounded Savior, seeing him wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, dying for me. Amen? What a Savior. Hallelujah. Right? Legally forgiven before the throne of God because of the bleeding, dying, and risen Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Could it be any greater? It can't. Except when we get to heaven. Amen. Think about that, my friends. So we talked about Christ being wounded. Number two, I think you should know where he was wounded. You know, Zechariah 13:6 says, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? You know, Jesus prophetically here is going to explain what these wounds mean. Now, we already talked about that when it comes to the gospel, forgiveness of sins, right? And salvation, the dying lamb. But now, what mean these wounds? He explains these wounds to them, what they are, you know? What are these wounds in thine hands? In other words, like, how did that happen? Why do you have those? What a good gospel message, isn't it? Why do you have these wounds? From the Old Testament, by the way. That'll confuse some people. Amen. Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. It's important to never lose sight of this when we are wounded as a servant of the Lord. It may many times be in the house of our friends. You know what causes more people, I think, to leave church and to do those things? They get wounded. My parents got wounded and they left the church and didn't come back for many years when I was a child. Didn't come back for many years. Why? Over wounds. People not having a desire to shore up those wounds and to try to treat them and take care of that and everything else. We can leave because we're wounded. That happens a lot, actually. And I would caution you not to allow that to happen. You know, I hate to even say it and I hate to think it, but I'll be honest with you. I've been wounded. Most of the wounds that I've had in the ministry have been in the house of my friends. That's where they've been. In the house of God. I say it not so you feel sorry for me, but as a pattern of truth, because Jesus first stated it. And he's my pattern to follow, that if things befall me in this life, I can take great courage when I see them in the scriptures, that I know my Father planned it all. Amen? He didn't leave me without a record to follow, a pattern that is there. So I need not be overwhelmed with fear because God showed me these things must shortly come to pass. They will happen. It will happen to you. Some way, different scale, different situation. It'll happen between a husband and a wife as well. Same thing. I tell you to look to the Bible to find your present distress there. It's there. Your present distress is an invitation for you to open up the scriptures and find it there. And you know something? God has never failed me to show me exactly what I was going through in the scriptures. Right? I'm telling you, they're there. They're invitations for you to go to the Bible, for you to go to God's word and be strengthened by it. But what is the pattern of human nature is to turn away from that, to sorrow as if there is no hope, to have a Judas repentance and a sorrow in your own heart, but not a repentance toward God and a faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ in that, and be strengthened by that and go to the Word of God and get what you need. No, it's to be offended and to leave and to say, well, I'm doing it. I'm right, they're wrong, that's just the way it is. I don't want us to ever be that way. I've learned some hard lessons that God showed me. And I don't ever want us as a church to ever treat each other like that. We are not expendable in that sense one to another. God doesn't view us as that. He views us that we are to love one another, we are to care for one another, and we are to do all that we can to be unified in the Spirit based on truth. God doesn't want us to be offended and to live wounded. He doesn't want us to do that. And I'll show you that. Look to the Bible to find your present distress. You'll not be overcome with much sorrow then. God has taught me to kiss the hand that smites me with the shepherd's rod. And I can tell you, truthfully, I don't understand everything that God's doing, and I never do, but I will tell you this. Something's changed with me over the last month. God has done something in my spirit, and he has strengthened me, and he has taken me farther away from a state of absolute sorrow and despair. Not absolute, but immersed in sorrow and despair, to looking to the future, being confident again in the Lord, being strengthened and moving forward. And it's God that's done it. It's not me because I haven't done anything different, but what I've always done, try to be faithful to the Lord. That's what it is. It's God. It's his grace. The most terrible things I've gone through, if I know Christ went through them and others in the Bible went through them, I need not be overcome with fear and distress. You know, the most distressing part of being wounded or going through a trial like that is the fear of the unknown. We dread it. And then we magnify our giants when that happens. We put a magnifying glass on a giant and make him 10 times bigger than what he really is in your life. I'm telling you what, have you ever done that? You've done it. You make it so much bigger. You have a... blame it on Andrew. He was late today. All right, it's his fault. Here, you can have these back. I don't need these. Thanks. Should charge those so we have some. That's the professionalism of this church. Just want you to understand that. It'd be really bad if this church was professional because I'm not. So it would be really bad. Anyway, the most distressing part of a trial is the unknown. We dread it and it intensifies the trial. But once we could see it in the scriptures, you hear Jesus say to you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He promises, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come unto you. See, there's a pattern here from Jesus, and the same that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, they shall suffer. Remember, as a servant's heart, you are not greater than your Lord. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. You are not greater than your Lord. The same trials that your Lord went through, you will have similar ones. You will be wounded in the house of your friends. As his servant, you follow his pattern. If Christ went through it, you will too. So then expect that you will be wounded by the people that are closest to you. Let me give you an example. David had his Absalom, his son that wounded him greatly. Right? When I see that in the scriptures, I can take great comfort in that. Why is that? Because it's real. And I know it, and it's there. And David had his Absalom. He went through it. His son wounded him badly. He was wounded by those that were closest to him. His son, a son that he admired greatly and he loved for his characteristics and his manliness. But alas, his son stole the hearts of the people and turned all Israel against him. And if you have a wayward child that has broken your heart and turned his or her back on you, then you may be wounded in the house of your friends. It's the people that we love the most that wound us the greatest. Then who can forget the wounds that betrayal causes? Betrayal is such a deep wound for the servants of God. Those that will live godly and go to the house of God and serve God when they are betrayed in the house of their friends, it is such a wound that is difficult to heal. I have learned that betrayal is probably one of the hardest things to ever get through. Because then what happens is Satan whispers in your mind and you don't really want to trust anybody. Have you ever been betrayed? Maybe you've been betrayed by a spouse. Maybe you've been betrayed by a best friend. Maybe you've been betrayed by a son, maybe a pastor, maybe it doesn't matter who it is really. Once you go through betrayal like that, you have trust issues that develop in your life and your heart, and you got to take it to the Lord, and you have to learn to take that fear to God, and he'll take that fear and he'll turn it into love, and you'll just have to exercise love. And just say, you know what, Lord? If I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be betrayed. That's just how it's going to go, but I'm going to keep serving the Lord. Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? That's how it's usually done, my friend. I preached a message a long time ago called the Judas Kiss. Boy, I didn't think I was going to get it so bad. Boy, did I have to pucker up for that one. Whew. Psalm 41:9. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Well, I know that song. I know that one. I know that one well. I can sing that one. I can sing that psalm, Brother Jacob. I know it well. But I needed to know it well. Wounded in the house of your friends, wounded by your own friends. David is speaking here of Ahithophel, his beloved counselor, his lawyer, and his friend. Wounded. David said in Psalm 55:12, for it was not an enemy that reproached me. Oh, look, I've had plenty of those. Like, once you get betrayed, greatly. And you're, I mean, once enemies reproach you, that happens all the time. I mean, you're just used to that. I just, psh, whatever. Yeah, right, whatever. It's like all these Facebook goons that come on there, or YouTube goons. Sorry, Dad, not you. But I don't want to confuse the goon with YouTube goons, okay? But, right? We got to make that, we got to keep that straight. But the difference is, like, they come on and they say their things and they do their things and they make Jason Cooley expose videos. I'm like, ain't I been exposed enough? But it by the way, if 1900 sermons hasn't exposed me, nothing's gonna. But but anyway, but you think about that. People go through those people, they don't really move me anymore. Why? Because I've felt the stings of betrayal for people that I loved greatly. Right? If it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Yep. Then I would have hid myself from him. See, if it was an enemy, I would have hid myself. I would have protected myself. I would have not left myself open. Like that book I have in there, Dear Abner, I Love You, Joab. Have you ever seen that book? Jacob, you've seen that book with the bloody dagger on the front of it? Dear Abner, I love you, Joab. I had that book a long time ago, Jacob. I read some of it, a lot of it. I may have read all of it. I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember. But I'll tell you this, that I get it. I know what he's saying here. I know what it's like to be wounded like that. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Oh, spiritual wounds like that from your friends, to be wounded like that in the service of the Lord. It never dawned on me when I answered the call to preach. I talked to my wife about this the other day. It never dawned on me that any of that would happen. She goes, yeah, because if it did, you never would have answered the call to preach. You never would have done it. God didn't show us what we would go through as two young kids that were one that were on fire with for God and wanted to do something for the Lord. Mm-mm. God have showed you that, you'd have ran for the border. Whew. And I don't mean the Minnesota one either. Right? Or Taco Bell. That's true, because that's dog meat. It's not real food. Nobody ought to call that that. That is a sin to call that food. Well, it's a sin to call that human food. You could call it Alpo if you want. There's nothing wrong with that. Uh-huh. You like Alpo. Just remember, when there's a Great Depression, you're going to see cans of Alpo, and Lee's going to be eating them, I think. I just have that feeling. Because he's so used to eating Taco Bell, there's no difference. Just put some of that Taco Bell salsa on it. It works for me. I can see him doing that wrapped up in some fake burrito. Anyway, how do I get off on these things? Lee, stop talking, okay? You're interrupting me. All right, here we go. But David said he took counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. You know, this is David lamenting what his friend did to him. He's lamenting it. He's lamenting the fact that somebody that he trusted did that to him. Right? And then, of course, there's Jesus, that whoever dipped the sop, right? The disciples, and how betrayed. How do you think the disciples felt, how betrayed they were, when one of their own there was with them the whole time? And you know how much guilt they had? You got to be careful about that. You say, I should have known. I should have been able to see. I should have seen these things. I should have said something. I should have done something. You know, no. A lot of times, God doesn't allow you to see it because he has a purpose in it all. So he doesn't allow you to see that type of betrayal. He doesn't allow you to see those things because he just blocks it. I can't give you the exact reason why the Lord does things, you know? And you have a veil of innocence. So, by the way, when you don't have any motives to hurt people, it's hard for you to see people that hurt people. Like, it's hard for you to see their true nature. until a few times. And then you just step back and be like, I don't believe a thing they're saying. Because you can just, unfortunately, you can sense it. It's like, those senses of discernment that God says are exercised in Hebrews? Yeah, that's the ones you get. How are they exercised? By the knife in the fifth rib. That's it. You learn to see the behavior before the actual stab. You learn to see the behavior. It's how God deals with this stuff. Oh, he teaches his children about wounds. All right? I want to read you something Spurgeon said about this, because he wrote on the wounds of a pastor, and it's applicable to all of us, really. But I've read part of this before to you, but it's good. This little portion of it is good to understand. You can understand how your pastor can feel sometimes, even though you see a man like Spurgeon and other men. You see us go out and street preach and face down gangs of trannies and all kinds of things like that. And yeah, that's weird. But all kinds of things and men in your face screaming at you, wanting to beat you down and everything else, right? But then let me explain this other side. Spurgeon said this: one crushing stroke has sometimes laid the minister very low. The brother most relied upon becomes a traitor. Judas lifts up his heel against the man who trusted him, and the preacher's heart for the moment fails him. Yep. We are all, and here's why, and this is true, we are all too apt to look to an arm of flesh, and from that propensity, many of our sorrows arise. Remember that. We are all too apt to look to an arm of flesh. And that's where many sorrows will arise. You put so much stock into other people, and they wound you very greatly. Equally overwhelming is the blow when an honored and beloved member yields to temptation and disgraces the holy name with which his life was named. Anything is better than this. This makes the preacher long for a lodge in some vast wilderness where he may hide his head forever and hear no more the blasphemous jeers of the ungodly. You know, I'll tell you something that's really interesting. When I went through the worst betrayals of my life and in the ministry, the things I went through, there was a guy online that would jeer me with those things so much. And he would say things like, well, that person's going to betray you. And they end up being right, by the way. They named two people, and they were spot on. But think about that, how that would haunt your mind to hear things like that. And how when all these things first happened, I went through a time of, I didn't trust anybody. I told my wife, I said, I knew Jesus was my Lord and Savior, and that's about all I knew. I just looked around at everything, and I was like, I mean, you'll never know what I thought. But it happened. It happened. Listen to this. 10 years of toil do not take so much life out of us as we lose in a few hours by Ahithophel the traitor or Demas the apostate. Ugh, I cannot tell you how true that is. Strife also and divisions and slander and foolish censures have often laid holy men prostrate and made them go as with a sword in their bones. Oh, and don't I know this? Hard words wound some delicate minds very keenly. Many of the best ministers, from the very spirituality of their character, are exceedingly sensitive, too sensitive for such a world as this. You think, well, they're tough, they're strong, they preach hard. Yeah, but they hurt deep. Deep, very deep, very deep. You know, a kick that scarce would move a horse would kill a sound divine. Just talking about a preacher. That's what they used to call him. By experience, the soul is hardened to the rough blows which are inevitably in our warfare. Now, it's getting easier. I'm going to tell you from experience, it's getting easier from that sense. They don't wound me quite as bad. There'll come a time when you're wounded, when you won't be wounded as bad. You just won't be. God will strengthen you, and you'll see what the deal is. You'll understand it. You know, Hoggard understood it really well when I was going through the things, because he had been through it. And he was very practical, and he just told me, he goes, hey, if they can't tell the truth about you, they got to lie about you. And I mean, I'm telling you what, and let me give you an example of this, because I can tell you that I remember about a year and a half ago, I remember somebody said the most putrefying and wicked thing about me that you could ever say. And you'd think I would just get mad. No, that came later. But it literally sunk my spirit. It sunk me down into a panic attack and an absolute depression where I couldn't sleep. I woke up with night sweats in the middle of the night, and I was shaking and shivering. I thought, why am I cold? Do I have a fever? No, I didn't realize at the time that what that was a panic attack. And what that was an emotional overload to your sensory system that causes your mind and everything else just to snap. Right, exactly. So it was a trigger. That's how the devil works. It was a trigger that sunk me. And there was absolutely not an ounce of truth to it, but it was somebody trying to destroy me. That's what it was. And I'm not trying to preach about me. I'm trying to help you understand that people are mean. people are mean. And I'm telling you, if you would have saw me there that day, if you just saw me there, actually it was night, my wife sat there. If you just saw me, you'd think, what's wrong with this guy? Why is he such a baby? Or why is he so, well, maybe some of you wouldn't have thought that, but others would have thought, why, like maybe that wouldn't have maybe bothered you as much, or maybe you would have just brushed it off or whatever, but I couldn't. And it's because of the other things that had happened before. But that's about the worst possible thing somebody can say or about you. And I mean, my wife was pretty mad about that. But I remember the next day I woke up, and I know this is probably going long, but that's okay. I woke up the next day, and I sat in this office. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't even pray. Do you understand that? I couldn't form words out of my mouth. And my dad, he drove up here, and he came in to check on me. And he just, and for, I don't know, how long were you here that day? It was long, a couple hours. Well, actually, for the first hour, he just sat like one of Job's friends, and he just sat there and watched me and just didn't say a whole lot. And he just sat there. And he goes, maybe we should pray. And I told him, I can't. I told him, I said, I can't. I can't do it. I can't get the words out. And he said, well, then I'll start. I will. And then he started praying for me. And then I was able, after he started praying, I was able to pray. And I was able to, it was able to thaw, and it was able to break. Right? And then the floodgates came open. But I'm just telling you, I know what it's like to be wounded. To this day, I'm completely shocked that God has never allowed me to quit. He's never not breathed into me the strength that I needed daily to continue on. But he's taught me, preacher, it's not how you feel, it's who I am. Don't ever forget that. It's not how you feel. It's never how you feel. It's always who I am. That's the truth of it. However you've been wounded, I've been wounded worse. And I was wounded for you. But it taught me to have compassion on people. Now, I'll be honest with you. I wanted to be like Jehu, take my sword and slay Jezebel. I'm just telling you what I wanted to do. I let God do it. And they ended up in a nut house somewhere. So, what's that? Yep. But you know what? He says, the trials of a true minister are not few, and such are as caused by ungrateful professors are harder to bear than the coarsest attacks of avowed enemies. Let no man who looks for ease of mind and seeks the quietude of life enter the ministry. If he does so, he will flee from it in disgust. True story. Wounded in the house of my friends. I know the feeling of those. I've felt them down to the depths of my soul. But we must never let the reality of this happening wound us to the point that we stop serving God. Nor are we allowed to become cynical or cold-hearted. These wounds have meaning. As was asked the question, what are these wounds? Sometimes God wounds his own children to heal them. Sometimes God wounds us. Deuteronomy 32:39. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Job 5:17, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth and his hands make whole. Amen! Sometimes God wounds us to touch us and to make us whole. You know, many, many years ago, I don't know if you remember some of you remember this sermon, I preached one called Whom He Bruises, He Uses. Man, that was an old one. That was prophetic. I ain't looking at that one. Just like he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, right? His leg. And what happened to him? His hip or whatever? He walked with a limp the rest of his life. And how he allowed the thorn in the flesh for Paul. God may in fact wound us for our own good so that he can make us better and heal us. You know what happens to you, friend? Wounds cause you to reflect. You look at that wound and you think about how that wound occurred. And then you think about, you know what? You think about how you may do things differently in the future and follow the Lord and change. Listen to me very closely. You may have made a mistake in your marriage. You may have made a mistake in your life. You may have made a mistake as a father, as a mother. I don't care what it is. What I'm telling you is you are not defined by that. You are defined by your obedience to the Lord and your following of God. So then be able to admit and say, you know what? I made some mistakes and I'm not going to repeat those and I'm going to stop that right now and I'm going to move forward with doing things right. Don't let truth is not meant to wound you so it stunts your growth or it stops you. It's meant to wound you to heal you so that you don't do those things again. That's what it's meant to do. Not for you to reflect back and look back and say, well, I've always done it this way, so I'll continue being a loser. Amen. That's why. Well, my mom did this, my dad did this, and because of that, I'm this way. Well, it's time to break that mold right now. Let's crack that sucker in half right now. Let's break it right open. And let the potter put you on the wheel, and let's let him mold you the way he wants to. Amen. Maybe your father wasn't a good father. Your mother wasn't a good mother. That ain't an excuse for you not to work on it. That's not an excuse for you not to press forward. When you see truth, you follow it, friend. Don't you dare ignore it when you see it. You follow it. I'm uncomfortable with that. I don't care if you're uncomfortable. Good. You know what uncomfortable people do? Move. That's what they do. When you get uncomfortable, you do something about it. See, it has to hurt enough for you to do something about it, don't it, Lee? Right? You had to stop using that arm after you jacked it up. And then when you thought it was okay, you jacked it up again. Yes, I am picking on him. And I enjoy it. Right? But now you remember it. And then you remember to be thankful to God that you have your health. Job said this, "For he breaketh me with a tempest and multiplieth my wounds without cause." But he has a cause. Job just didn't know what it was. And he has a purpose. And you don't know what it is either, why God's allowed you to be wounded. You don't know why. But he uses those wounds to make us stronger and better. There are wounds in the service of the king that are a direct result of the consequences of our sins as well. Careful examination must be done. And we must always understand that God does judge us, not the way that we judge ourselves. We judge all or nothing with a wounded and distressed mind. But God rightly judges. He looks at our intent, our direction, and our motives. When we get taken off course, he considers that as well. And he is merciful to his people. But the servant of the Lord that sins brings self-inflicted wounds. David did. He said, "My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh." That was after he committed adultery with Bathsheba. His wounds stunk because of his own sin, and he knew they were self-inflicted, and he had no one to blame. "Still and yet, I tell you with the rejoicing, there is the balm of Gilead for even the self-inflicted wound." God is willing to forgive you. You know, sometimes we're wounded by a talebearer spreading things about us. The words of a talebearer as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. The words of a talebearer as wounds, right? When people say awful things about you. On another note, sometimes God has our friends wound us to make us better, Christians. Proverbs 27, verse 6. "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Sometimes our friends have to say some tough things to us, some hard things to us. They don't want to say. Sometimes as a pastor, I have to truly be your friend and tell you the things you don't want to hear. Because it's faithful to do so. Because faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes we have to speak to each other that way. You know, enemies will give you a Judas kiss. Enemies won't care if you go on and live your life whatever you want to. But your friend will look at you and say, "You better stop that right now. You better get things back on track. You better start following the Lord." I've got to talk to somebody this week, and I just got to tell them the truth. And I'm just going to be blunt about it. I'll be kind, but I'm going to be straightforward. And I'm going to tell them, "You're going to destroy your life. And you can do it with your eyes wide open." I'll tell you the truth. Why not? What do I got to lose? Right? Because you know what? That's why I tell you young people, that's why I'm so straight. Like, you notice that I don't apologize for what I believe. And I don't do that. Why? Because I've been through a lot. Like some little 20-year-old tranny trying to tell me about life. I thought, I got a kick out of that. I'm like, I'm almost a 44-year-old man. I've been through a few things in my life. I know I'm not an old man, but I've been through a few things. A lot more than a 20-year-old has in that sense. And here's this little confused runt trying to tell me about life and what I'm supposed to do with my son. I'm sorry. I ain't going to take my parental advice from some 20-year-old tranny. That 3 seconds later was having a Jerry Springer brawl out there with the band of trannies. The Royal Rumble, the tranny Royal Rumble right there. Man, it went down, Jacob. You missed it. It went down, Jacob. Down went that other, that drunk man, that tranny. Man, Hey, no speaking in tongues here. You stop him from doing that right now. Don't let him do that here. You cover your mouth, boy. I don't want to hear none of that. Those weren't intelligible words. I don't know what language you're speaking. I don't know what you guys are practicing at home, but you better knock it off. We don't do that here. Proverbs 27, verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, right? Enemies will give you that Judas kiss. Sometimes we have to be hurt, told things that we don't like. And praise the Lord for good friends that are willing to tell us that. Now we have to be careful not to needlessly wound our friends. 1 Corinthians 8:11. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak consciences, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. See, we're not to wound each other just for the sake of wounding each other. The Bible says if we do that, that's just sin. You know, if we're using our liberty to just wound people, right? We have to be careful about that. Like Job, sometimes these deep wounds that we have are not understandable to us. Why we must be wounded so badly? Why we must have these wounds? So the question is asked, what are these wounds? What mean these wounds? I will tell you the first thing that you must do in order to be healed of your wounds. Any wounds that you find in this life that you go through, you must understand you cannot heal your own wounds. When you try to reason with yourself and try to heal them, it doesn't work that way. You cannot reason this. And by the way, it does no good to bury them either. Say, well, I just block that out and forget about it. We can't do that. Doesn't work. Why? Because then a root of bitterness springs up inside of you, and it defiles many. Many. And it's the only way we were taught to deal with it a lot of times. Just bury your hurt, bury your pain. But that's not the way we deal with it. No. We acknowledge it. We understand it. Look, if you're wounded, you take it to the Lord, obviously, which you get to. But you ought to take it to somebody. You ought to talk about it if you need to. Get it out. I'm not saying, I don't need to hear about every gory detail of your past. I'm not talking about that. I'm not some crazy, whacked out Pentecostal in the woods of New England somewhere. I don't need to hear all that. Okay? I'm not looking for Bigfoots in the woods. I don't need all that. What I want to do is be able to help you if you need it, so you can help others. You can't heal your own wounds. You cannot receive the spiritual profit God intends for you to have from the wounds by yourself. Job 5:18, for he maketh sore and bindeth up, he woundeth and his hands make whole. This was a common mode of healing among the Hebrews about binding up wounds. It was a practice of medicine that appeared to have been confined much to external applications. The meaning of this verse is that afflictions come from God and that he only can support, comfort, and restore. Health is God's gift, and all the consolation which we need and for which we can look must come from him. We believe that all things come from God in that sense. Not that he is the author of it, but that he permitted it. We know that he will heal and make us better. By the way, better does not mean the same. Can I help you with that? You'll be mighty confused if you believe that better means it's going to be the same you felt before that happened. Nah, that ain't going to happen. That'll never happen. You'll be better, but you won't be the same. It just doesn't work that way. Trapp, he said this. He said, this is more than to make sore or sick, like in Hebrews 12:6. Scourging is worse than chastening. God sometimes makes bloody wails upon the backs of his best children. I like the way he talks. He wounds them with the wound of an enemy and leaves them all gore blood, as the word here used, stained with blood. He hath as a surgeon, and his hands make whole. As a surgeon should have a lady's hand, he says, soft and tender, a father's heart relenting over his pain. Son, he afflicteth not willingly or from the heart. See, The Bible says in Lamentations 3:33, for he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. God doesn't enjoy that, right? He doesn't enjoy that. It goes as much against the heart with him as against the hair with us, and evermore. The Bible warns us, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? I've seen it. You wound a man in his spirit, and he won't be able to get up off the floor. He won't be able to do anything. He could fight lions and go through all that kind of stuff, but you wound his spirit, and he'll be done. But Jesus is our great physician, and he allowed you to have those wounds for your spiritual profit. I know sometimes you look at those wounds you've acquired as you've served the Lord, and you cannot imagine the profit in them. You cannot imagine that there's any profit in it, right? But you will be blessed by all the wounds they make, because they make you more like your master. When a Christian is hurt or wounded in the house of his friends, he identifies with Christ. He is just like his Lord, and God will teach you to handle it like Jesus did. And you will go to God the Father, and you will be more like Christ. Psalm 147:3, he healeth the brokenhearted and bind the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Luke 10:34, he will bind those wounds up and he will wrap pour oil and wine in those wounds and heal them. That's what he does. He'll heal those wounds. Only Jesus applying the Holy Ghost of God to our wounds can bind them. Let no man ever think that God will lap up his sores before they be searched, or scarf his bones before they be set. See, time. God uses time. And what you want is the wound healed immediately, and it doesn't work that way. The one thing I've learned, when you're seriously wounded in this Christian life, in your mind, in your heart, whether it be your marriage, whether it be your church, whether it be whatever it is, they don't heal instantly. You can't just say, well, it's over, it's done with, I'm just moving on. Well, you can do that, but it doesn't work here. Because as hard as you think you are, and as strong as you think you are, and as able as you think you are, wounds don't heal that easy. That quickly, I should say. Wounds take time to heal. Some of you in your Christian life have figured out, I've got some wounds that haven't healed. I mean, I've got some wounds of my past and some things that I've been through, and they're not healed yet. Good. Acknowledge it and continue to take them to Christ and allow him to heal them by a dependence upon the Lord, the great physician. I'm telling you what, some of you carried some wounds into your marriage. I'm going to say it again because I like being nosy. Some of you carried wounds into your marriage. And you brought them in with you, didn't even realize they would have that much of an effect, and still don't realize they have that much of an effect. You don't realize it, but they do. They do. And now you have to work on them. Now you have to acknowledge them and say, you know what, I do. That's real. That's there. As a father, as a husband, as a mother, as a wife, I have to acknowledge those and I have to deal with those. Man, this is a lot harder, isn't it, than having a 30-minute sermon and being done already, isn't it? Man. What's that? 3 points in a poem is just not having it today. But listen, some wounds take time to heal. Whether our hearts be wounded by sin or be wounded by others, he binds up the brokenhearted. Whether they be wounded by betrayal, terrible calamities, and afflictions. We can and will be healed by Christ. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15:18, why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail? Who's Jeremiah talking to? Do you know who he's talking to? Huh? Say it louder. Thank you. He's talking to God. Well, now, what was that guy thinking talking to God that way? Well, you do too. Because when you go through trials, you just don't say the words. He just poured out his soul and he said the words for our profit. So God put him in there for our profit. But you think that too. Why am I not healed yet? Why is my wound still there? Why haven't I gotten over this yet? I've said that. I said that many times over the last 3 years of my life. Why am I not over this yet? Why is this still there? Why am I still dealing with this? Why is that there? Because it takes time. It takes time to heal grievous wounds. Wounds from your childhood, wounds from your family, wounds from other marriages, wounds from your parents, whatever the case may be. It doesn't happen. By the way, I haven't given you one notion of psychobabble. I've given you straight Bible. That's all I've given you. I'm not giving you any psychobabble. I'm giving you Bible. And I'm telling you it's real. And people really hurt, and they really deal with things, and they really do. And your wife does too, and so do, and your family does, and they deal with these things. It's just not comfortable to talk about. So I'll just kind of dig up a little bit. I'll dig it up, and then you guys can play in the dirt. Amen. That's right. Dig it. Have you heard that sermon? I preached a sermon like that called Dig It, Dig About It and Dung It. Do you remember that sermon? In Texas. Jacob spies on me. He's been watching me forever. I'm just kidding. You remember that one, don't you? At Jim's house, yeah. But God does it in his timing, not ours. You know, God held him up. And he'll hold you up, though you're wounded. But God recognizes that we're wounded. Jeremiah 30:17, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Christ came to heal us of our spiritual infirmities, all things that wound us. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That's why Christ came, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison doors of them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Look at this. He trades it. To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Do you see how God fits it for you? This is how you're healed. Are you paying attention? The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Are you catching it? What do I do when I'm in heaviness? Praise. Right there. It's his prescription. You ready for the doctor's prescription? It's right there. Hey, maybe I'll do a broadcast on this. Why not? That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That's why he's doing it, to plant you firmly. Like the day you were saved, you must come to God through Christ Jesus the Lord. You must come wounded and bleeding, broken and battered, used and abused, and he will heal you. The spiritual wounds and hurts as a servant of the Lord cannot be healed any other way than a constant fellowship and many doctoral visits. Some things don't heal. God doesn't heal them right away. They're going to take time. It's because you need to build up a dependence on the Lord. Spiritual wounds will never be healed in a physical way. They take constant care. If you don't show up for the doctor's appointments and you neglect the treatment, then you will never heal. Never. You'll stay wounded. And you know how wounded people act. They're very defensive. They guard their wound. They become feisty and upset, or they become detached and completely shut off because they're wounded. They've been hurt. More intimate relationship with Christ is needed. More visits, more spiritual nutrition, more care, more consultation with the Word of God. It is the only way wounds heal. The only way. Wounds eventually will one day turn into battle scars, and we can tell of the triumph of the Lord. I see that now in my own life. I'm able to tell people about what God has done, how God has brought me through many dark times. I've helped many people with depression and discouragement and anxiety and all these other things. Why? Because God's brought me through it and has continued to bring me through it. So people listen now. Some people that never listened to me before listen to me now. And they listen to me now. Why? Because I'm touched with the feeling of their infirmities. Because God beat me with his rod. Then someone will ask, what are these wounds? These are the wounds in my master's service. You know something? They turn to scars. What are these? These scars. Where did you get that? You know how old veterans in war, they speak of their scars that they acquired along the way. Well, battle wounds in this spiritual life are no different. There are things that I can speak of to you now, not only by the word of God, but by experience. And I can tell you this happened. And I can point to that and I can say, that happened in the service of the King. And once he heals those and binds them up, they turn to scars, right? Isaiah 30, verse 26, moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. In the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. Our wounds will bring us into deeper intimacy with the Savior. We may be wounded servants, but we will rejoice in those wounds and those scars that remain from them. Will one day be able to say, yep, I was wounded in the house of my friends. Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Christ, the ultimate example. And thank you for breathing life into me every day and into your people. And Lord, if nobody else got anything out of this, I sure did, and I thank you for it. Thank you for ministering to my soul and to your people. Thank you for loving them. Thank you for them loving you, and thank you for them loving me, and thank you for this church. Thank you for the Son of God. Lord, we're not worthy, but Christ is, and I thank you. May our lives be lived, and may the divine magnet, Christ, be lifted up that will draw all men unto him. Thank you, Lord. Bless the time we have today. Bless our fellowship. May the love of God be shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.